All right, well, let me jump on in here to the Right Side Way monologue for this Thanksgiving Day week, Monday. So I'll go ahead and be honest. I'm about to make some of you mad. I feel confident, at least those of you that consider yourselves fiscal conservatives. So last week, I did a monologue about the Pentagon failing its seventh audit in a row with an inability to count or to account for over $824 billion in materiel, equipment, and funds. $824 billion. It's an epic failure. So if you care where your tax dollars go and what they go for, stand by. Because for the next few minutes, I want to talk about liberal big government views on money. Your money, to be exact. Money that taxpayers have contributed to the greater cause. Money that on one hand is held against us and used sometimes to coerce the enforcement of an agenda from D.C., while at the same time our tax dollars are used and abused without accountability. Failing audits by the same people who then try to coerce our behavior with it. It's an odd measure of what I'm calling fiscal hypocrisy. But let me first set the stage by telling you a story. It's actually a memory. It's one that some of y'all can probably relate to. So when I was a kid, roughly middle school age, my dad was an Army officer. We were stationed in London, England. So one summer, it worked out that I could come back to the States to visit family and stay for the summer. Sounds good, right? Yeah. So as a 12 or 13-year-old kid, I boarded a plane by myself and flew from London's Heathrow International to LaGuardia and from there to Birmingham, Alabama. Now, y'all, I have had enough adventures as a well-traveled adult moving around crowded airports. I look back now, though, and I cannot believe that I was let loose as a middle schooler to find my way across international waters with changeovers in major airports. All I knew to do was get off at LaGuardia, find an information booth, and ask how to get to my next gate. Anyway, there I was, probably looking lost as a coot, just a kid, walking the terminal, staring up at the signs. All of a sudden, somebody grabbed my arm. I looked over, and there was this booth of, like, basically hippies wearing robes. So back then, it was actually common for the airports to allow special interest groups to set up shop in small booths and try to solicit travelers. And I kid you not, it was a four-sided waist-high square about 10 by 10, and there were at least half a dozen Moonies standing in the square. For those who don't remember, that's a cult that was led by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. They were like all the rage back in the 60s and 70s. And one of them had this unsuspecting teenager, me, traveling alone by the arm. Now, I didn't know what she wanted, but man, she was into it, telling me all the amazing things their cult did, how she could sell me some of their beautifully decorated books, would I please make a donation? This went on for like 10 minutes with her holding my arm and me like trying to pull away, knowing that I had to get to a gate somewhere on the backside of Egypt, and here I was a kid. Well, here's the end result. As a kid, this grown woman who should have known better finally let go of my arm when I handed her a $20 bill. I know what you're thinking. Me thinking at the time I was just glad to be free of her, maybe I did a good thing. Maybe I gave money to charity or something. Also knowing that I didn't have time to understand it. Nobody was there to explain it. To say that my parents later on were upset, not at me, is an understatement. Well, let me tell you, what I just described is what liberal politicians try to do to us every day. It's as if we're all the unwitting traveler and all the liberals in D.C. are a bunch of money-grubbing moonies with an agenda. I mean, if you'll do what we say, we'll let go of your arm. And so we give them our money, and they make promises. But in the end, what have they really done? They've just injected themselves further into our lives. There are several stories, by the way, from the headlines over the past few years of the Biden administration that give me specific cause to be able to say these things. I see specific evidence of arm grabbing, if you know what I mean. So, like, here's the thing. We saw how the Biden administration doubled down on their efforts to remake society. It's as if their whole of government approach to everything liberal and culturally progressive had a sense of desperation to it, like they knew they had to get it all done before the first term ran out. In the course of doing so, they looked around for any place in which the unwitting taxpayer might get trapped and have no choice but to yield to their agenda if they could hold dollar signs over their head. Kind of like a kid traveling by himself dealing with money-grubbing moonies, right? Case in point number one. Did you know that during the Biden administration that federal funds for free and reduced lunches to underprivileged children in public schools were actually being held hostage to a woke agenda? You heard me. The Biden Department of Agriculture, knowing full well that the states have become dependent on funding to help feed children who might not otherwise get a full meal at home, those children targeted by the Biden administration for the loss of funds. What? Yes, funds for those meals that kids relied on. hungry kids. Unless the states would adopt the Biden administration's rules and policies related to sexual orientation and gender identity. Aha. It was all part of the effort to force a redirection on the gender wars. It's a new policy, guidance from the USDA, which is the agency, by the way, more responsible for food security than anything else, announced that schools must accept the new policy of mandating that transgender use of bathrooms and other such nonsense will be accepted. If not, if the school wouldn't do it, if the school system declined, then guess what? Withholding of any funds from the federal government to include things like food aid for baby formula, school lunches, and community food banks would follow. Fox News called it food security blackmail. Here's another one of the Moonies at the government grabbing your arm. Case number two. The Heritage Foundation identified a regulation that was buried deep inside of a 1,036-page renewed Medicare regulation, promulgated by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services back in 2022. Apparently, the regulation buried deep inside the regs is being referred to as the new anti-racism rule. It's a requirement that any medical provider who treats Medicare patients, which is a lot of them, must create and implement an anti-racism plan for their office. A plan that has to include targeted goals and milestones to prevent and address racism and provide ongoing anti-racism training in order to best identify the implicit biases that the Biden administration is so sure exists in all of healthcare. So what we have now is the government inserting itself into the actual business practice of medical providers, demanding they acquiesce to their systemic biases and privileges. Take the white privilege walk, if you will, holding doctors by the arm, basically, until they give in. If you're not mad already, I'll give you one more. Case in point number three. Do you remember the massive infrastructure spending bill? $1.2 trillion. Taxpayer dollars. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he announced the strong arming of states and local governments to spend those infrastructure dollars on, progressive pet projects. Things like climate-resilient public transit and bike paths, mandating that old roads had to be repaired before new ones could be built, regardless of whether the old roads are what the locals really needed. Buttigieg's leadership has even resulted most recently in threats to state governments of the loss of transportation dollars unless they start to prioritize matters related to pedestrians and bicyclists. Really, transportation dollars are there to build roads and bridges, not bike paths. All of this despite the fact that the express language of the spending bill actually prevents such monetary coercion. Look, what we've been seeing, and here's me get back to my point, what we've been seeing is the most advanced case of the weaponization of money in perhaps, I don't know, ever. Most folks never see it. Those that do are often too fearful that if they don't comply, they're going to be at a loss. And to be honest with you, the federal government is known for adding stringers. It just is. But rarely have we seen it at such a blatant, progressive, agenda-driven level. Elected officials and bureaucrats who would stoop to this level of revenue-based coercion, they're no better than Moonies in an airport grubbing money off unsuspected teenage travelers. It's the weaponization of money, I kid you not. It's just plain wrong. But as the federal government is careful with our tax dollars when they conduct business, I mean, if you're going to mandate behaviors and place regulatory burdens on us, it must mean that, oh, I don't know, maybe it's because you're really responsible. You're the one who leads by example, right? No. Like I told you, the Pentagon just failed its seventh straight audit. $824 billion missing. Well, that's an unmitigated fiscal hypocrisy. The same government that demands we conform to their liberal agendas or lose funds, they don't have accountability of many of the funds we send them. Look, we can't have a tier-tiered layer of accountability where the little guy just takes it on the chin while the big guy laughs on C-SPAN and gets a big retirement bonus when they leave office. There's an old saying, you cannot expect what you don't inspect. I do expect that the Pentagon is going to be inspected a lot in the years to come, but the bottom line is this. The weaponization of money is wrong. Coercion is coercion, whether it's committed by organized crime or government. If the government's going to grab us by the arm, take our dollars unless we comply, well, shouldn't we be allowed some kind of reciprocal ability then to call for accountability for their spending? It's only right. But unfortunately, it's too often more about fiscal hypocrisy, and less about good government. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.